This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day for this greatest nation on God's green earth. The President of the United States is speaking about the situation in Afghanistan. We go directly to him, President Biden.
I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces. That's why we're still there. We were clear-eyed about the risk. We plan for every contingency, but I always promise the American people that I will be straight with you. The truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated. So what's happened? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed, sometime without trying to fight. If anything, the developments of the past week reinforced that ending U.S. military involvement in Afghanistan now was the right decision. American troops cannot and should not be fighting in a war and dying in a war that Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves. We spent over $1 trillion. We trained and equipped an Afghan military force of some 300,000 strong, incredibly well equipped, a force larger in size than the militaries of many of our NATO allies. We gave them every tool they could need. We paid their salaries, provided for the maintenance of their air force, something the Taliban doesn't have. Taliban does not have an air force. We provided close air support. We gave them every chance to determine their own future. What we could not provide them was the will to fight for that future. There's some very brave and capable Afghan special forces units and soldiers. But if Afghanistan is unable to mount any real resistance to the Taliban now, there is no chance that 1 year, 1 more year, 5 more years, or 20 more years, the U.S. military boots on the ground would have made any difference. Here's what I believe to my core. It is wrong to order American troops to step up when Afghanistan's own armed forces would not. The political leaders of Afghanistan were unable to come together for the good of their people, unable to negotiate for the future of their country when the chips were down. They would never have done so while U.S. troops remained in Afghanistan, bearing the brunt of the fighting for them. And our true strategic competitors, China and Russia, would love nothing more than the United States to continue to funnel billions of dollars in resources and attention into stabilizing Afghanistan indefinitely. When I hosted President Ghani and Chairman Abdullah at the White House in June, and again when I spoke by phone to Ghani in July, we had very frank conversations. We talked about how Afghanistan should prepare to fight their civil wars after the U.S. military departed, to clean up the corruption in government so the government could function for the Afghan people. We talked extensively about the need for Afghan leaders to unite politically. They failed to do any of that. I also urged them to engage in diplomacy, to seek a political settlement with the Taliban. This advice was flatly refused. Mr. Ghani insisted the Afghan forces would fight, but obviously he was wrong. So I'm left again to ask of those who argue that we should stay, how many more generations of America's daughters and sons would you have me send to fight Afghanistan's civil war when Afghan troops will not? How many more lives, American lives, is it worth? How many endless rows of headstones at Arlington National Cemetery? I'm clear on my answer. I will not repeat the mistakes we've made in the past. Mistake of staying and fighting indefinitely in a conflict that is not in the national interest of the United States. Of doubling down on a civil war in a foreign country. Of attempting to remake a country through the endless military deployments of U.S. forces. Those are the mistakes we cannot continue to repeat, because we have significant vital interests in the world that we cannot afford to ignore. I also want to acknowledge how painful this is to so many of us. The scenes we're seeing in Afghanistan, they're gut-wrenching, particularly for our veterans, our diplomats, humanitarian workers, for anyone who has spent time on the ground working to support the Afghan people, for those who have lost loved ones in Afghanistan, and for Americans who have fought and served in the country, serve our country in Afghanistan. This is deeply, deeply personal. It is for me as well. I've worked on these issues as long as anyone. I've been throughout Afghanistan during this war, while the war was going on, from Kabul to Kandahar to the Kunar Valley. I've traveled there on four different occasions. I met with the people. I've spoken to the leaders. I spent time with our troops. And I came to understand firsthand what was and was not possible in Afghanistan. So now we're focused on what is possible. We will continue to support the Afghan people. We will lead with our diplomacy, our international influence, and our humanitarian aid. We'll continue to push for regional diplomacy and engagement to prevent violence and instability. We'll continue to speak out for the basic rights of the Afghan people, of women and girls, just as we speak out all over the world. I've been clear, the human rights must be the center of our foreign policy, not the periphery. But the way to do it is not through endless military deployments. It's with our diplomacy, our economic tools, and rallying the world to join us. Let me lay out the current mission in Afghanistan. I was asked to authorize, and I did, 6,000 U.S. troops to deploy to Afghanistan for the purpose of assisting in the departure of U.S. and allied civilian personnel from Afghanistan, and to evacuate our Afghan allies and vulnerable Afghans to safety outside of Afghanistan. Our troops are working to secure the airfield and to ensure continued operation of both the civilian and military flights. We're taking over air traffic control. We have safely shut down our embassy and transferred our diplomats. Our diplomatic presence is now consolidated at the airport as well. Over the coming days, we intend to transport out thousands of American citizens who have been living and working in Afghanistan. We'll also continue to support the safe departure of civilian personnel, the civilian personnel of our allies who are still serving in Afghanistan. Operation Allies Refugee, which I announced back in July, has already moved 2,000 Afghans who are eligible for special immigration visas and their families to the United States. In the coming days, the U.S. military will provide assistance to move more SIV-eligible Afghans and their families out of Afghanistan. We're also expanding refugee access to cover other vulnerable Afghans who work for our embassy. U.S. non-governmental agencies or U.S. non-governmental organizations and Afghans who otherwise are at great risk in U.S. news agencies.
We will be right back on the Michael Medved Show with President Biden's continued remarks and reaction to them by you and the rest of the country coming up. Will socialism or free markets decide the future direction of Washington State? Washington Policy Center stands for free markets and market-based solutions, but we can't do it alone. Hear from the acclaimed CEO of Whole Foods and free market champion John Mackey, who calls capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished. And join him October 1st at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency. Tickets and information at WPCDinner.com. That's WPCDinner.com. Introducing MedHead Plus, where you get all the benefits of regular MedHead members, plus you get access to anything in our MedVed History Store downloaded for free. Existing MedHead members can upgrade to MedHead Plus with a cost of only $79 per year. And for the next 30 days, new members can also join for $79 a year. MedHead Plus, get it all. Go to michaelmedved.com, find out about the new sale right now on MedHead Plus members.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow, here to tell you about my Giza Dream bed sheets. I made sure that they would be everything you'd ever want in a sheet set. I started with the world's finest cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all meet. The long staple cotton makes my Giza Dream sheets ultra soft and durable. They come with extra wide pillowcases to fit over any pillow and extra deep pockets to fit over any mattress. Not only that, they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. I personally guarantee that they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
That's two for one low price, plus free shipping. Call 800-320-6280 or MyPillow.com, promo code MedVet. That's 800-320-6280. Use the promo code MedVet for these great radio specials.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com.
President of the United States continuing and concluding his address. Listen.
People, the right one for our brave service members who risk their lives serving our nation. That's the right one for America. Thank you. May God protect our troops, our diplomats, and all brave Americans serving in harm's way.
And, of course, the press yelling out for some kind of response, he walked away immediately. Some initial responses on Twitter to the president's address. There was, for instance, this response from Richard Engel of NBC News. He responded in the middle of the president's speech. Biden says nothing could have fixed Afghanistan. that it was and is basically a failed state and always will be. I wish it had come to Kabul more recently, even 6 months ago. President Biden says the failure in Afghanistan proves he was correct. Odd logic. And then Richard Engel, Biden says human rights center of U.S. policy, a hard sell tonight when I'm sitting outside the Kabul airport. Maggie Haberman, New York Times. She tweets out, Biden has painted this as a binary, stay or go, while only briefly addressing the fact that the images coming out of Kabul reflect people who weren't evacuated months earlier. Well, that's exactly right. The president did acknowledge that this happened more rapidly than he expected. But the fact that it happened more rapidly indicated, number one, a tremendous failure of intelligence, if that was the case. If nobody mentioned to them, well, wait a minute, there are people actually in the press who said, look at the Taliban on the ground, they have gained strength. And by the way, the idea that they are going to be eager to work with the United States or the West or civilization in a reconstruction of their country, it's an absurdity. And Matt Lewis from the Daily Beast said, wow, Biden is completely passing the buck here, taking zero responsibility. He's casting blame on Trump and on Afghanistan forces. Everybody but himself. And he mentioned President Ghani, and he mentioned President, that's Ashraf Ghani, and President Abdullah Abdullah. And he's not the president, he's a chairman. He's the chairman handling the so-called ongoing negotiations they were supposed to be doing with the Taliban. And for the United States not to be a party to those negotiations, not to work out some kind of agreement for a drawdown of U.S. troops. The question is, he basically put it in his speech, look, there's only one choice here. It's a choice between we continue the war indefinitely or we end it abruptly. Where the right way to end a conflict, and basically most observers from left, right, and center have made this point, would have been more temperate to go ahead and scale down and to make arrangements and to try to have at least some truce with the other side, and if not, at least help support the Afghan army in slowly extricating the United States, where after 20 years, the idea of spending an extra 2 months to try to make this an orderly change of power rather than a collapse with no assurances of anything. Stephen Hayes tweeted back, Joe Biden, the leader of the free world, portraying himself as a helpless, passive actor in Afghanistan, pathetic. Biden's judgment on Afghanistan has been demonstrably bad, but it's still hard to process that he looks at the events of the past week and believes it validates his approach. Stunning. And then one of my favorite members of the U.S. Congress, and an Afghan veteran, Representative Adam Kinzinger, he says this, Representative Republican from Illinois, the buck stops with me. But absolutely, he's quoting Biden there, but absolutely he took no responsibility for the disaster we are watching. And Rich Lowry of National Review, editor of National Review, this is so disingenuous. Yes, we'd have had to put thousands of troops back in, but not tens of thousands directly in combat. It's true that we gave the Afghan army an incredible amount, but we pulled out the air support and logistics that it depended on. Biden, of course, skips over that. It doesn't make much sense to say that human rights should be at the center of U.S. foreign policy in the midst of a speech defending this policy, handing power over to some of the worst human rights offenders in history. And then one last word from Shadi Hamid of the Brookings Institute. He says, wow, Biden's speech is atrocious. He's going all out blaming Afghans for their plight, saying they don't have the will to fight for their own future. Not a word yet from Biden admitting any responsibility or any fault. Remarkable. I knew it would be bad, but this is worse than I thought. Wall Street Journal has this to say about a prior statement which basically anticipated what he said in this major address. And I, by the way, they know this is not good for Biden, which is why they are doing it in the middle of the afternoon. Why they're doing it when most people are at work and people are generally not watching live. And this is not a good look for the president. The Wall Street Journal writes this morning, President Biden's statement on Saturday, a couple of days ago, washing his hands of Afghanistan deserves to go down as one of the most shameful in history by a commander-in-chief at such a moment of American retreat. As the Taliban closed in on Kabul, Mr. Biden sent a confirmation of U.S. abandonment that absolved himself of responsibility, deflected blame to his predecessor, and more or less invited the Taliban to take over the country. President Ashraf Ghani fled the country while the U.S. frantically tried to evacuate Americans. The jihadists the U.S. toppled 20 years ago for sheltering Osama bin Laden will now fly their flag over the U.S. Embassy building on the 20th anniversary of September 11th. There is more. Any words? Any listeners out there who want to defend the President of the United States? I believe this is a sad meltdown of American resolve. Well, that probably was melted a long time ago. But for the Biden administration and for any credibility and for the handling of future challenges in foreign policy, we'll be talking about that with an Afghan veteran, David French. And we'll be talking about that also with Gordon Chang. What's the impact on America-China relations of all of this? All coming up on the MedVet Show.
Want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Afghanistan, Indiana Republic. Never would have happened on Donald Trump's watch, and that is a fact because Donald Trump never closed the door.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. President Biden back in Washington, D.C. as he prepares to address the crisis in Afghanistan this afternoon. The president leaving his vacation in Camp David earlier than expected due to the escalating nature of the crisis. As the Biden administration continues to blame former President Trump for the situation deteriorating in Afghanistan, Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks tells Fox News, not so fast.
This never would have happened on Donald Trump's watch. And that is a fact, because Donald Trump never closed the door on keeping a light footprint there to prevent it.
The Supreme Court will consider a big guns case from New York. The case involves a state law requiring anyone who wants a concealed carry permit to prove a special need to carry a gun outside the home. Oral arguments set to begin in early November. This is USA Radio News.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
Gets worse. The reports now from multiple news sources is President Biden, who of course, and this is to be expected in this situation, turned his back on the reporters who were shouting questions, walked off after his speech. Apparently he's headed back to Camp David, which is a very beautiful Camp David. It's a retreat in the Catoctin Mountains in Maryland, and popularized by President Eisenhower, a great president a long time ago. But he's going back to that retreat because it's summer and he wants to take some time with his family, I guess, or maybe just avoid too much confrontation with the press. Gordon G. Chang is not taking time off, and you can follow his latest comments. He, of course, specializes in the relationship between the United States and China. He has written books about North Korea and China and the dangers that they comprise. He's reachable on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon, on top of everything else, don't you think it's a mistake for the president to run back immediately to Camp David rather than to, for instance, go visit the Pentagon or the CIA or huddle with his top foreign policy advisors?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the optics are horrible. I mean, American people want leadership. The American people can deal with failure. We've failed many times in our history. But really, this looks like a failure of leadership. And that's the American people won't abide. It would have been much better if President Biden had said, this is my decision. I'm sticking with it. I made mistakes. The buck stops here. Full stop. But then to blame the Afghan people, the Afghan government, the Afghan military, and President Trump, that just doesn't sit very well.
It doesn't, and The Wall Street Journal and many others, I mean, and people on all sides of the political spectrum bring up the idea that he makes this a binary choice when it's not. It's not simply a choice of we fight forever or we go home right now. What is so magical, he's already missed the deadline that Trump had set up. Trump had set up the deadline of May 1st to get every American resource out of there. And again, were we going to not even protect our embassy? I mean, it just seems to me that there's a lot of space in between a fighting forever and going home right now, this moment in August of 2021.
Yes, and the American people forget, because remember, the American people overwhelmingly wanted to get out of Afghanistan, but we forget that the reason why we were there was to prevent another 9/11. And although it was a quote-unquote forever war, what it meant was that there were no major terrorist incidents on American soil. Now the Al-Qaeda and God knows who else are going to have a safe haven in a medieval society that is called Afghanistan. And we're going to have to worry about major terrorist events again. So this is, first of all, a failure of leadership. And I think that both Trump and Biden should have explained why we were there and the benefits of doing so. But even so, what we saw today really was a failure to take responsibility for a policy that Biden actually bought onto. And talking about Trump was just a wrong note. It might play very well with Biden supporters, but it's not going to play well with people like me who are neither Republicans nor Democrats.
All right. I think that's entirely true. One of the things that I realized listening to the president and watching the president, because this was not someone who he was pleading for understanding. Please understand why I did this. It was not an authoritative, strong statement by an inspiring leader. And one of the things that concerns me greatly is that it will end up inspiring some kind of rapid response from our terrorist adversaries. Because, in other words, the idea that the United States has taken this damage, how would we respond if there were another outrageously large terrorist attack, if that occurred in the next few days or weeks?
You know, I really don't know, because there's only one person who can answer that question. I'm concerned, of course, about terrorist attacks, but I'm also concerned about the Chinas and Russias and Irans and North Koreas of the world seeing an opportunity to press the United States. We have seen the propaganda from Beijing, which was immediate and relentless and without mercy. And if the Chinese are as good as their word, they are going to test us someplace along their periphery. Or someplace else. God knows what's going on. But the point is that right now, the United States needs to be prepared not only for acts of terrorism, but for acts of aggression from large states.
And a response to terrorists is a lot easier for the United States to contemplate than, say, if China has some kind of military incursion or move against Taiwan, say, what does President Biden do?
Well, I know what he should do, but what he will do, that's very difficult to say. You know, there's a couple schools of thought here, Michael. One of them is that Biden has just failed and that he's going to go into a bunker for the rest of his term. The other is that he's going to realize that if he wants to have a presidency, he's got to resolutely meet the China challenge and that we might get a better China policy. I don't know which way this administration is going to go, but I'm afraid, because we did not see leadership today.
No, it's entirely correct. What I was hoping to speak to you about today was there was a little bit of good news. There was an analysis in the Wall Street Journal that over the next 3 years, the United States is supposed to be ahead of China in economic growth. The headline in an analysis by Bob Davis at the Wall Street Journal in the Outlook section, for now, U.S. tops China in growth. And then it talks about the projected growth. And that this could be a very significant time for America to gain some advantage on the Chinese, who are dealing with a world of problems of their own. Is that going to be undermined by what we saw today?
Well, it could be. What we see right now is problems in China. They've got extreme flooding. They've also got the reaction to the Delta variant, and Beijing's reaction is to shut down large portions of the country in response to a few number of cases, and that is having an economic effect. They may not admit it when they produce their numbers, but the United States, I think, has been growing faster than China this year. And China certainly did not grow 2.3% last year, which is what they report. So the United States has got much more potential for a number of reasons, Michael. This is sort of a complicated issue, but our society is recovering much faster and will continue to do so for the indefinite future. China right now is in a world of trouble for so many reasons, including the large number of defaults that are on the horizon and the big troubled real estate companies. So, yes, the U.S. is going to do better, and that's going to do better even with weak leadership from the White House.
Well, let us hope so. And again, maybe shifting away from trying to remake the entire American economic system with his domestic priorities and focusing a little bit more on foreign policy and national security and America's position in the world. To get some perspective on America's position in the world, very few better places to go or better sources to reach than Gordon G. Chang at Twitter, or Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. And Gordon, let us hope we have some more encouraging news and some more encouraging leadership than what we're seeing right now. Always appreciate your making time for us and joining us on the show. We will be right back. Mitch McConnell has responded to the president's address. He actually spoke just before President Biden spoke to the nation. We'll get to what the Republican leader had to say coming up.
The Michael Medved Show.
I've had several knee injuries on my left knee, and so over time, stiffness set in with a great deal of pain. So I went ahead and ordered the starter packet, and after about 2 weeks, I started noticing results. And after they were gone and I reordered, let's say 6 weeks in, my pain was virtually gone. But the big bonus was that the stiffness was also virtually gone. And so, therefore, my problem with my left hip also went away. I'm very happy I decided to try it and will continue to use it.
You can get a 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 95 cents a day. What a good investment. Nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. You can go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor. That's michaelmedved.com, banner for Relief Factor, or call 833, toll-free, 654-PAIN, 833-654-PAIN. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. and I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get all...
And on the Michael Medved show, Mitch McConnell, who, say what you will about him, he is unfailingly reasonable and I think tries to walk up the middle as much as you can while advancing conservative values. He spoke to the press just moments before President Biden did. And spoke about what is happening from his own perspective as a veteran senator from Kentucky, of course, and as Senate Minority Leader right now. This is Senator McConnell. Listen.
It won't surprise you to know I was in a number of these briefings over the last couple of months. It was pretty obvious to me what was going to happen. I predicted it, and I'm not in the intelligence business, that the Taliban would be in power by September the 11th, which is a date of historic significance, just based on what we were hearing in these briefings. I know for a fact that the president's military leaders argued against this decision. I think the president felt strongly about this, obviously. He overruled his own military leaders to do it, and he owns it.
And when you talk about the responsibility in the briefings, there's a piece in Axios headlined Biden Braces for Brutal Loss. Taliban fighters stand on a vehicle in Kandahar on Friday. And now, of course, it's going beyond Kandahar. It includes the entire country. And they write at Axios, it's looking increasingly likely to high-ranking aides to President Biden that the U.S. will have no enduring diplomatic presence in Afghanistan beyond August 31st. The date Biden has promised to the full troop withdrawal will be complete. Why it matters, it's a major reversal from even a few weeks ago. The working assumption in Biden's inner circle had been that Kabul could hold out for the short term, allowing the U.S. to stay diplomatically engaged and to help Afghan women secure their rights beyond the U.S. withdrawal. The 3,000 Marines and soldiers now going in to help with the evacuation, that's up to 7,000-8,000 now, will be gone by August 31st, we were told. The big picture, the U.S. Embassy in Kabul wasn't just a diplomatic building, it was also a major intelligence center with paper records and equipment there that the U.S. will remove or destroy. Protocols are in place for just such an emergency. Unlike Tehran in 1979, when the Iranian fundamentalists gained access to some sensitive material, the U.S. staff still in Kabul will ensure there's nothing to gain. It's actually not such an easy process to destroy all these records and resources that you don't want to fall into the hands of the Taliban for their future terrorist projects. American diplomats at the embassy have been instructed to destroy important papers and desktop computers before they leave. Despite the efforts to secure intelligence and safeguard U.S. personnel and their Afghan supporters, Biden must brace for the symbolic defeat of seeing the Taliban overrun the space that housed the embassy. That includes the ambassador's residence and the landmark duck-and-cover bar frequented by generations of troops, diplomats, and journalists. I mean, my goodness, the duck-and-cover bar falling in the hands of the Taliban, what will they do with it? They're not supposed to drink. They're the Taliban. The major moment to come, lowering the American flag that flies over what is essentially sovereign U.S. territory. That's true for any embassy. That's typically done by the Marine Security Guard detachment that's always on post. It's a point of honor for the ambassador or charge d'affaires to take custody of the flag and to bring it back to the State Department for a safe haven. The idea that this is a broader responsibility than just the Biden administration? Well, sure. There were mistakes made by the Bush administration, certainly by the Obama administration, and yes, by the Trump administration as well. For instance, it was a mistake that President Trump viewed his policy in Afghanistan, which is essentially the policy that Biden has followed, as a great triumph. When, as recently as his rally last month in Lorain County, Ohio, where President Trump said this about his policy in Afghanistan. This is clip 4.
I started the process. All the troops are coming back home. They couldn't stop the process. 21 years is enough, don't we think? 21 years. They couldn't stop the process. They wanted to, but it was very tough to stop the process when other things are out. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. It's a shame. 21 years by a government that wouldn't last. The only way they last is if we're there. What are we going to say? We'll stay for another 21 years, then we'll stay for another 50. The whole thing is ridiculous. So we're bringing our troops back home.
Okay, that was President Trump, even when he was no longer president. And then Antony Blinken said to Chuck Schad yesterday, listen, this is clip 9.
We inherited a deadline negotiated by the previous administration. That deadline was May 1st. And the idea that we could have maintained the status quo beyond May 1st if the president had decided to stay, I think, is a fiction. Here's what is likely to have happened had the president decided to do that. During the time from when the agreement was reached to May 1st, the Taliban had stopped attacking our forces, stopped attacking NATO forces. It had not sought to take over the country, the entire country, by going at these major provincial capitals. Come May 2nd, if the president had decided to stay, all gloves would have been off. We would have been back at war with the Taliban, attacking our forces. The offensive you've seen throughout the country almost certainly would have proceeded. We would have had about 2,500 forces in country with air power. That would not have been sufficient to deal with the situation. And I would be on your show right now explaining why we were sending tens of thousands of forces back into Afghanistan to restart a war that we need to end.
Okay, that is, frankly, a much better case for what the Biden administration has done than President Biden made himself. And David French, who is going to be joining us in a few moments, who is a veteran of the war, has just tweeted, Joe Biden was not bound by Trump's grotesquely irresponsible agreement with the Taliban. The Taliban had already violated its terms. It can be true that Trump's agreement was a travesty and that this retreat is shameful, callous, and deeply harmful to our national security. And then from somebody else who was noted for his criticisms of President Trump and of President Biden, Adam Kinzinger, another veteran, says, I blame both Trump for this moment coming and Biden for this botched ending. I'm not picking sides because both sides have failed you. It's the truth about Afghanistan. And I think that Congressman Kinzinger is essentially correct in this regard. It's very difficult to feel optimistic about what happens with U.S. foreign policy. And then there is this tweet of the day.
Page now to the Internet.
I mean, wow, what a great, smart tweet.
Changed his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet? I did not send that tweet. My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once. And I'm starting to get worried. And I'm starting to think about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
The winner is a frequent winner on this show. Joy Reid tweets, this is the real life Handmaid's Tale, a true cautionary tale for the U.S., which has our own far religious right dreaming of a theocracy that would impose a particular brand of Christianity, drive women from the workforce and solely into childbirth and control all politics. In other words, she's saying this is a real-life Handmaid's Tale, that the Taliban are the equivalent of America's religious right. Just think about this. Maybe even, Joy, think about it yourself. Would you rather live under the guidance of, oh, I don't know, evangelical Christians or crazed, fanatic, Islamic radical killers? There is a difference, and we ought to acknowledge that difference as part of what protects and benefits this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right.